Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 14 this morning. Romans chapter 14 this morning. We are going to read verses 10 through 12 this morning in chapter 14. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12 this morning. As you're finding your place in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet if you're able this morning? If not, certainly please stay seated. But if you're able, honoring the Word of God as we read it, Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, beginning at verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning and the opportunity we have to hear it preached. Help us not waste our time. Help us to hear what you have for us. Speak to our hearts this morning, Holy Spirit. Now, Father, as our pastor comes, we ask that you fill him with thy Holy Spirit for this task ahead. And Lord, as I pray most every week, I pray if somebody here in this room this morning or listening on the internet does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd settle it this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I'm going to ask that you check your cell phone, electronic devices, and make sure they are turned off or at least to vibrate. We have a rule in this church. If your phone goes off in the service, we drag you outside and beat you to death. So just make sure it's turned off, would you please? That would be wonderful. Sit real still and listen. Now, I don't normally ask you to do this, but I'm going to ask you to do this right off the bat this morning. I'm going to ask you to listen very carefully. Normally, I let you go to sleep right away. But this morning, I want you to listen very carefully, please. The Bible said, For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You understand in the Bible, there are seven major judgments that will come one day. Seven. There are two major judgments for mankind. One is called the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. At that judgment, every person who has ever lived and breathed will stand before God, and he will judge their life to determine their degree of punishment in hell. No one who goes to the Great White Throne Judgment goes to any place but to hell when it's over. The second judgment for mankind is called the judgment seat of Christ. That's where every saved person, from Adam to the last one, will stand before Jesus Christ, and they will give account of themselves. And everyone at the judgment seat of Christ will go to heaven. Now, it's very important to hear this point this morning. Your destination of heaven or hell is not determined at that judgment. Whether you go to heaven or hell when eternity comes and you part this life is determined in this life, not then. There will never be a time of judgment where people stand before God and their good and bad is weighed. And if their good is good enough, they go to heaven. And if their bad's bad enough, they go to hell. That never happens. It will never happen. Your heaven or your hell, your eternity is determined by what do you do with Jesus Christ and salvation in this life. So when we talk about the judgment seat of Christ, I want you to get this in your mind this morning. When it says that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he's talking to Christians, a person who knows Christ as their personal, listen, knows Christ as their personal Savior. Not a religious person, a saved person. Not a Christian by profession, a Christian by possession. You have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, then if I'm saved and I'm not going to the judgment to determine heaven, what is it all about? There are several passages in the Bible that teach us what the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ is. First of all, let me explain to you when it happens. This judgment seat of Christ, where every saved person will stand one day, takes place immediately after we are caught up from this life in what we call the rapture of the church, or the first phase of Christ's second coming. How do we know that? So, because remember the parable judgments Jesus taught, where he talks about a man who had possessions he loaned, he gave to three of his servants, talents, that's money, not abilities. One had five talents, one had two talents, one had one talent. And he went away on a journey. He comes back. He immediately calls those three servants together and says, "What did you do with what I gave you?" The judgment for those who were given something took place immediately upon the return of the master. The other parable judgment is the one about the 10 pounds, how the master comes and he takes the three servants and he gives each of them 10 pounds, and that's not a weight of things, it's a measurement of money. And he comes back, and immediately he gets those three together, and he says, "What did you do with the 10 pounds that I gave you?" In other words, as soon as Christ comes back for his own, we go immediately. See, we think when Jesus comes back, we get to go to heaven. The truth is, we don't. Not initially. Initially, we go to stand before Jesus Christ, and he examines our life. Now, I want you to hear me very carefully this morning. There is absolutely nothing between us and the return of Christ today that would prevent it from happening before I snap my fingers. Which means today. Now listen, when I talk about the judgment seat of Christ, it means you could be standing at the judgment seat of Christ today and give account of ourselves to God. Now, it's very important to know about this judgment seat. When it happens, as soon as Christ comes back. What's the purpose of it then? It's not about sin. It's about works. We will not take the time this morning because I know you want to hurry up and get to Hometown Buffet. So may I fill in some blanks for you a bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about this judgment seat of Christ. Four times in that passage about the judgment seat of Christ, four times it mentions that our works are examined. Our works are judged. Not sin, works. Why doesn't a Christian judge for their sin? Because Jesus was judged for our sin. Ladies and gentlemen, hear this pastor this morning. Do you understand today that salvation, the payment Jesus made on Calvary's cross, was to purchase for you the gift of eternal life so you could have salvation, forgiveness, and a home in heaven? Because Christ paid the price. See, he was judged for our sins. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You don't make yourself righteous in God's sight. God makes you righteous the moment you are justified in his sight. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When a soul needs salvation, a sinner, and that's every one of us, friend, comes to Christ and trusts him for their salvation. The moment they trust Christ for that salvation, God wipes the slate clean. There is no sin on their record anymore. And literally, God transfers the righteousness of Jesus to your account in the sight of God and takes your sin and places it on the payment that Jesus made, and it is finished. The payment is done. So, Christian, you and God and sin are never going to meet up in heaven in eternity. Never. Because your sin's already been judged. It was judged upon Jesus Christ. That's why this morning, my friend, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I beg you today, I beg you to settle that matter and know the Lord as your Savior this morning. You don't have to leave this building and not know Christ as your Savior. We cannot save you. We cannot give you salvation, but I'll tell you what we can do. We can point you to Jesus and he'll give it to you because he purchased it for you. So the judgment seat of Christ takes place as soon as Christ returns for us. The judgment seat of Christ is not about sin, it's about works. What did you do with the life he gave you from the moment of your salvation till that very moment? Now in Romans chapter 14 again, if you look at the passage very quickly, please, it uses two terms that help us to understand how this judgment carries out. In verse 10, he says, "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." That's one expression. We'll come back to that in a second. Look at verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Two terms used here to explain the judgment seat of Christ and how this examination of our life works. The bema seat, the judgment seat, and an account, which is literally a bookkeeping term. The judgment seat of Christ, it means bema seat. You see, when a person paid for an athletic contest in those days, that person that paid for the contest was given a very special seat at the games because they funded it. They paid for it. And then at the end of the games, the athletes, the competitors, would come and stand before this special seat he had. And in the Greek, it's called a bema seat. And they would stand before the one who paid for the games, and then they would receive their rewards and their recognition and things at this judgment seat, the bema seat. The judgment seat of Christ is that. Jesus Christ has paid for the opportunity, the privilege we have to run the race that is set before us. And at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to come and stand before Him, and He is going to examine our life and what we did with the life of our salvation from the moment of that salvation to that very instant, the judgment seat. When it says in verse number 12, we'll give account of ourselves, it's a bookkeeping term. God is going to open the books and look at our life and say, now, by the way, at the judgment seat of Christ, God does all the talking, not us. No one's going to push their lawyer up there and say, now my mouthpiece is going to speak for me. And here's what he's going to tell you. And he's going to tell you why I did what I did. It's not going to be like that. By the way, you don't say anything either. The only thing you say is in verse 11. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to him. But it's not like the Lord's not going to say, okay, tell me about August 14th at 5 o'clock. What was that all about? Well, Lord, you have to understand, it was sunny, it was hot. It was Reading. It was August. Good night. It's hot in Reading. And what did you expect from me on a hot, sunny day in August like that? And the Lord, no. Look at me. He's going to give an account. It's already recorded. Listen now. It's already recorded what you've done. Works, not sin. What you've done. And then he's going to look at it and not only ask, show you what you did. He's going to show you why you did it. You say, well, are you sure, Pastor? Back to that parable judgment of the 5, 2, and 1 talent. Remember the guy with the 1 talent? He took what the master gave him, went out and buried it in the ground. He said, I knew you were a hard man. I knew if I tried and I did, so I just buried it. Go out there and get it. And that's what the man said. It's out in the yard, go dig it up. When the master rebuked the 1 talent man, he rebuked him and said, at the very least, you could have. Oh, what you could have done. At the very least, you could have given, at least you could have done something with what I gave you. Because what he did was buried it instead of used it. What he did was he took what the Lord gave me, did nothing with it. And the Lord's going to say, you did nothing with what I gave you. I gave you eternal life, salvation, a home in heaven, the Word of God, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, a local good Bible preaching church. I gave you a family, a wife, a husband. I gave you children. What did you? And he'll show you what you did with them. And he'll show you why you did it. Because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. How implies what and why. You've seen somebody do something you've asked them to do, right? You tell your kid, take out the trash. Fine. And he takes the trash out like he's expecting to get his name in the Fox's Book of Martyrs because he's got to take out the trash. And oh, the degradation of it all. He's out there on his cell phone calling Oprah because he needs to be on the show to explain the difficulty he's enduring going through taking out the trash in his life. And how he's embarrassed and ashamed because, see, well, at least he took out the trash, but he didn't take it out with a good attitude. Listen, how and why implies why you did what you did for the Lord. Now listen to me. He's not going to ask you why. He's going to show you why. Remember this statement very carefully now. It is not what you go to the judgment seat of Christ with that matters. It's what you leave with that matters. So we go to the judgment seat of Christ. We stand before Him. He reveals what our life was. He reveals the what. He reveals the why. And then after that, there's a couple simple things that take place. Well, first of all, there's a time of rewarding. You see, that's why you get to go to heaven. No, heaven's a gift, not a reward. It's a gift. You got that? It's a gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No one's going to get heaven because they went to the judgment seat of Christ and came out with a truckload of good stuff. That's not how it works. Listen to me. You get to heaven because you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. It's a gift, not of works. It's a gift of God, the Bible says. So what's the reward about? God will look at our lives. Now listen, He'll look at our lives and He will reward us, according to what did you do since you were a saved person in a world of lost people? Hey, what did you do that brought glory to the cause of Christ? What did you do? I'm sorry, but I can't find anything in here where He checks your bank account. He checks the quality of the house in which you live. He looks at your waistline. Thank God. It's amazing. I don't see Him checking. He looks at our life and what did you do with the life I gave you? And then He rewards you according to, did you run the race according to the rules? You see, at the Bema seat, a person could be disqualified from the race, from the competition, because they didn't follow the rules. So, Pastor Johnson, I think I'm doing pretty good based on my Christian life. Well, my question to you is this. How are you doing with the rule book? He didn't write that book so you and I could own it. He didn't write that book so we could have it. He wrote that book so we could follow it, so it'd be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. He wants to know, did you compete? Did you run the race that I gave you according to the rule book, the Bible? Did you follow the Word of God? And then he wants to know something else. Did you finish the race I gave you? When I played football in high school, our coach had this idea that somehow or another our conditioning would be improved if we would run with the cross-country team. You know who I'm talking about. Those little skinny, anemic-looking guys have to run around the shower to get wet. You know what I'm talking about? They have to wear skis or they go down the drain. Their pajamas got one stripe in it. Little skinny dudes run 25, 30 miles a day. And no linemen run 25, 30 miles. My coach got this brilliant idea that we should run with the cross-country team because it would increase our stamina. Not in Tustin, California with 3-alarm smog alert and 95-degree weather. You can't even breathe. We used to stuff money in our shorts when we go out and run so we could try and get a cab and get back to the stadium as soon as we got out of the sight of the coach. Truth of the matter is, marathon long-distance runners, their big thing is just about finishing the race. Time, yes, but finish, that's the key. You're going to look Jesus in the face, friend, and He's going to reward you on, did you finish the race I set before you? He finished His. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God? The Bible said Jesus, the author and what, church? A finisher of our faith. Now, He finished the race He was here to do. The Apostle Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. See, it's one thing to get in that race. It's another thing to finish in it. It's one thing to start out the way God wants you to. It's another thing years upon years upon years later to stay in that race. And you know, He rewards those who are finishers, who just stay with the things of God, the will of God, the work of God, the church of God. They just do what they're supposed to do and they just keep running the race. He rewards you. That's why there are five crowns the Bible says you give. And don't worry, it's not like a queen's crown. It's a crown of righteousness, a crown of faithfulness. There's a crown for full-time Christian workers. There's a Bible calls a crown of life for those who are tested in life and pass. And then there's a crown of rejoicing, which, by the way, isn't that you're happy all the time. It's that you rejoice and that you invested your life in souls and people. You mean to tell me, Pastor Johnson, we do all this and He gives me a wreath I put on my head? Yeah, but don't worry, you don't keep it for very long. Revelation chapter 4 says, then after that, we cast our crowns at His feet. Jesus will be the only one wearing crowns in heaven, folks. It ain't going to be us. But wait a minute. But you understand that this judgment of seat of Christ, it is, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It is a collective judgment. That means all the saved will be there when you have your turn in front of Jesus. And then it says, and then every one of us will give account of himself. It's also an individual judgment. So he will not judge Shasta Baptist Church. He will judge each individual person in this church. Then you will stand before him, and I will do the same. And when we stand there, all of the saved will be behind us. I don't know about you. I don't know what is more intimidating to think about. Standing in front of Jesus and looking into that face with the thorn scars on his brow and the scars on his hands and his feet. I don't know what's more intimidating. Just standing in front of Jesus and looking at him, or standing in front of all the saved of humanity and seeing their lives and thinking to myself, Have you ever done that before? You stand in a crowd of people, and you know those kind of people who just, they talk like they've known you all their life and you never knew who they were. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine that? Standing next to somebody and you say, well, I don't know you. Who are you, please? Oh, I'm one of the martyrs of the 7th century. I forfeited my life for the cause of Christ. They butchered my wife and my children in front of me, and I still refused to relent, and then they took my life. What did you do? I went to church when it was hot. I was faithful. Then somebody looked at me funny and I quit church. Are you getting the picture this morning? Hey, look at me. Are you getting the picture? You and all of the saved, hey, you and all of the saved of humanity, you're going to be standing with a whole bunch of really amazing people. And then Jesus is going to reward us based on how did you run your race and did you finish? By the way, it's not like you're second-class citizen because you weren't martyred. It's very simple. He just wants you to be faithful at what he has asked you to do. That's all. And you're rewarded for it. Then secondly, after the reward comes the recognition. We are recognized by Christ. That's when he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's when it's all revealed. What did you do and why? And you think, well, Pastor, how can I be sure that I'm doing the right thing? What question? Do you really need to ask that question? See, here's the thing. If I'm doing what I'm doing for the Lord for the right reason, then it's for him. And it's about him. Hey? And it's about helping people. And it's not about me. It's not about me and my little world and me and my little stuff. It's about him and his work and helping people. And that's why. Yeah, but you try to help people and they take advantage of you. You're the first one. It's never happened to anybody else but you. Man, you are like unique. Come on. And the Lord looks at our lives and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You say, well, wait a minute. I get crowns I don't get to keep. And then I get an attaboy. That's what I get. I mean, that's it. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I get. And all these other people got the same thing. Don't I get a little extra? See, if that's your issue this morning, then already you found out you're not serving him for the right reason. Hey, it isn't about getting a pat on the back. I found people who pat you on the back, kick you in the backside later on anyway. But the truth of the matter is, it's really about this. You end your day and you say, Lord, I hope you were pleased with my life today. I wanted to honor you with my life today. And think about what you did to help, what you did for the cause of Jesus Christ, his work and way, and those sorts of things. See, then when he says, well done, good and faithful servant. By the way, there is something else that goes along with that. And then he gives you something to do when you go into heaven. If you're thinking about the big retirement, think about something different, okay? He gives you something to do when you go to heaven. Now you got duty, but that's okay because his servant shall serve him. And that works too. Of course, that's if that's what you like doing now. Why not do that forever? So you're recognized before Christ. You're recognized before all these other Christians. There are people today sitting in this room this morning, listen to me, who are thinking, there is no way I'm going to stand between the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter and then stand up there. There is no way I'm going to do that. Listen to me. in those judgment parables, every time Jesus taught one, here's what he always said at the end: and the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Do you know why? Because there'll be those Christians who got their thumbs in their spiritual vest, pushing their way to the front of the line, going, oh, wow, watch this. Watch this. I bought a brick on PTL. I bought one of those bricks. Yeah. I sent money to some TV reverend. Yeah. And they'll be pushing their way to the front of the line. The Lord will say, back up. Grandma, come here. Grandma, come up here now. And she'll be thinking, well, all he did was love my family, prayed him in the will of God, just stayed faithful to the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, yeah. See, you really think, well, all I try to do is honor God. Excuse me, that's not all you do. That is what you do. And Jesus never misses that kind of recognition. Remember, they all come to the temple. They're dumping bags of stuff into the treasury. And the disciples are watching the bags. Look at that guy's bag. That's huge. What's in this? This little lady comes up and gives a mite, two mites, quarter of a penny. That was a full day's salary for her. And when poor people lose a full day's salary, that's more than just losing a few bucks. That's a full day's salary. And she threw that quarter of a mite and those two mites in there. And Jesus said, "Do you see that? Did you see that?" And they go, "What?" Well, that lady walked by. What'd she do? She dropped something? He goes, "Yes, she dropped her living. She did more than just give. She gave all she had." See, Jesus doesn't miss stuff like that. So don't go around with your head down because you say, well, I just try to do right and honor God and live for my family. Look at me. Well done, good and faithful servant. Okay? You get recognized before Christ. You get recognized before Christians. And you get recognized before you as a child of God. See, I don't think we quite understand, ladies and gentlemen, the impact that your life has upon the cause of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't recall doing a lot for a lot of people. You know, all you have to do is influence one who influences a lot of people, and you get to touch a little of that because that was part of what you did. You got that? See, that's why you go, that's why you get in the will of God, go to a good church, and you get involved. That's really about the business of not entertaining people and patting them on a popo and sending them out to the champagne and scrambled eggs. They do something to try to help folks. They run buses. They go to the jail. They go to the nursing home. They go to the rescue mission. They go house to house, door to door, and they send the gospel of Jesus Christ out to the four corners of this earth. Just from the missionaries we support here, on the average, there are between 50 to 70,000 people under the sound of the gospel every week because you put a few bucks in a missionary offering. Think about that for a moment. The Lord revealed that, you know. Well, your faithfulness in your giving, that attributed to these people saved. You're going to be amazed at the impact that your life has had. And believe me, you're not going to feel proud of yourself. You'll just sit there and think, I had no idea it had that kind of scope to it. I wish we could see it better now. It's recognition. And lastly, at the judgment seat of Christ, it's a reckoning time. We shall give account of ourselves before the Lord. What did you do with what he gave you? Yes. He wants to reckon with you. He'll show what you did. He'll show the why. You ever wonder why it only takes 7 years? The time of judgment seat of Christ is a 7-year span. From the time Christ gets us until he comes back with us and the earth goes through tribulation, it takes 7 years to judge millions of people. It doesn't take long to wipe somebody's account out when he says, what did you do? Why? Okay, enter into the joy of the Lord. Next, what did you do? Why? Next. Doesn't take long to go through that list of people. And a reckoning time is a time for him to take a look at our lives. And what did you do? Now listen. It's unfortunate that most Christians have a time of backsliding in their life. They get out of the will of God. And that time is wasted and not spent on the cause of Christ. Here's what you do, though. You get right with God. You get back in the will of God. And you get going. See, look. If Jesus comes today, and I've been out of the will of God for a long time, but I got right at church this morning, it'll still count in His sight. Because His reckoning is clear and it's fair. All of us are given some things, and all of us are given some things that everybody has. That parable of the talents, the 5, 2, and 1 talents, each one was given a different amount. That's one judgment. The 10-pound talent, He gives them all the same amount. He's trying to teach us something. You know, all of us have the same things to use for God. We got a Bible. We have the person of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. You have the will of God for your life. You have the work of God to get involved in. We all have the same stuff, same opportunities. The difference in the 5, 2, and 1 talents is sometimes God gives people a little bit more to use and to work with in their life because they're willing to do something with what He gave them. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may give account of himself. Now then, how do we look at this? How about wisely? How about the fact that, yes, I'm going to give an account. Will I stand before the Lord and He say, you invested all of your time in what? Well, that had nothing to do with the cause of Christ. You spent all your time in what? He's not asking you for an answer. It's a rhetorical question. What? No, that's gone. Next. No, that's gone. Next. No. And now here you are in church. But why were you there? You did what? You wanted this personal recognition thing? No, that's gone. And it's a reckoning time. It isn't complicated, and I'm not trying to make it sound complicated. I hope I am not. I hope you understand something, friend. Here's the deal. See, that genuine, sincere Christianity, it goes a long way with God. You just do what you do because you love the one who gave you that salvation. And you desire to honor Him with the life He's given you. And you want to do something to have an impact on what the Bible tells you you ought to do with your life. And you fulfill that when you stand before Him, you will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.